This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Recapping the bowl games, getting ready for Christmas. Got some other exciting news if you're a certain green-colored fan base, and there's two of them, so you'll get that in a minute, right, Josh?
Well, I think you just gave it away and meant that.
There's green. Hey, Hawaii's green. Colorado State's green. Who else is green? Anybody else? That's about it. But our website, mwr.com, where you can find all the stuff we talked about. So this week, bowl stuff, two bowl games we'll get to, and one bowl game had more fun off the field stuff than on the field, and the other bowl game as well. We got to hear a lot about Gronk during the game, which was fine and interesting. But so we start off with, let's start off with some good news, Josh. I got two pieces of good news. Your Colorado State Rams are getting likely the future Blitnikoff winner back for next year. Is that correct? With Tory Horton announcing on Twitter?
Yeah, it was great news to come home to. So I was excited to see that when that happened. You know, we definitely needed it. And I think that may have actually influenced the decision the other day of Lewis Brown entering the transfer portal as well.
So him coming back, do you believe – I think – here's what I kind of think about. When you hear about all the transfers and what Matt Rhule said, Nebraska coach, about how much certain quarterbacks could get and whatever – you have guys where, like, there's the thing about Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State. There's literally zero chance that he should come back no matter what. Because if you're basically, what would you say, a first or second round pick, there's no good reason to return to college. There's no way you can make that money back or get to that next NFL contract. You mentioned our DM. Yeah. We know Horton was hurt a little bit, and his grade may not be as high as we thought. So with their QB getting $300K, you would think – isn't that what it was for the Rams quarterback? Something like that?
He
turned down $600,000, right? Allegedly?
Yep. He allegedly turned down $600,000 to transfer. I mean, Horton was offered somewhere in the five figures last year to transfer to an SEC school.
Not enough.
I also think I mean, there's some transfers, like the guys got to do what they got to do. But
of course,
Norvell mentioned this when he first started. Is like he likes to build family, and like he likes to think at least he has trust in guys. And I think you're seeing certain situations, like, you know, the Dalen Hoker situation from the transfer last year, where, you know, he talked about it in videos where a lot of schools were recruiting him but not recruiting his wife, and CSU was one of the only schools that did that. So that definitely got in his favor. So I think I like to think that you know, like he's building that relationship, and that will hopefully push out, like that will hopefully keep some guys that might have left, but you're not going to stop everybody. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, with that situation, that's kind of like Andrew Pease. That's why he went to Utah State. His girlfriend was there, went to Utah State and transferred. You would think, I know Dallin Holker at BYU, he was, when he transferred last year, like, that's kind of weird. First week of September, or first month of September, first month of the season. And he was clearly their best tight end. I know they had guys coming back who were injured, like Isaac Rex and other people, the kind of deep tight end. But for a guy, for what, a key player on a pretty good team, it was just kind of weird that why wouldn't you not make like a package deal to clearly his wife. What sport does she play? CSU? Is she track?
She's a track and field star. Let me see what her specialty is.
Because I'm wondering, even if she was just, if you're at BYU, they got pretty good athletics, obviously, overall. You would think she could go to, or get both of them to go to more schools. I'm not putting down CSU by any stretch, but say he wanted to go to a bigger school, and he shined fine. He's a Blender Cup finalist. He's going to be an NFL draft pick. He's going to make lots of money. He newcomer year in the conference, played extremely well. You would think if they wanted to go to UCLA, go to Oregon State, go to a bigger school, like just a, yeah, I mean, just a more prominent school, they would have made it happen, and she would have been able to fit right in. And so that's kind of odd. That, not odd, but it's like peculiar. It's like, well, you get both of us. We're married. You're not getting one of us. You know what I mean? Like, she's a pretty good athlete. And so he made the right choice to go to a school where they showcased his talents. He got the ball. He got awards. He did his thing and balled out.
Yep.
So we need to talk about Jay Norvell. Why doesn't he just snitch on everybody, Josh? Why doesn't he just not name names? Everybody's afraid to do so. I know why, but I want your thoughts.
Someone brought up a good response and a reply to Kevin Lytle's article that got a lot of news about, that basically sparked that whole conversation, was like, you almost have to make sure, like, you better be sure you have nothing in the closet.
That's, yeah.
It's like, it's stuff like that. Is like, I don't think anyone said, really called out schools off the top of my head. Only made insinuations.
Yeah, the only coach is Narduzzi at Pitt, coming after University of Utah for a couple of guys.
Like, did he call out USC for recruiting Jordan Addison?
It was twice. Jordan Addison, and then Utah. What does he feel like in portal? It was I don't know who the guy was, because here's the funny thing. Utah has, like, I'll say it, shit wide receivers. They got no way he can catch the ball except for tight ends. And so, like, if you can't beat out a guy to come from Utah to go to play University of Utah wide receiver to come to your school, yeah, that's a you problem. And so he called out Utah for that, recruiting NIL stuff, but you're right. Like, you better be clean. But it's like, I'm tired of this. Like, you have Jake Dickert of Washington State mention it, kind of like, oh, there's guys tampering. Like, if you want to be a big boy and you're pissed about it, but what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen for him. Like, hey, I know North Texas University, Louisiana Tech, Florida State, Miami, Ohio, who cares? Eastern Michigan. I know that coach here came after my wide receiver, and here's proof. Like, I don't know what'll happen. Like, there's whatever the tampering rules are. It's like, if you don't spout your mouth off unless you're going to back it up and say something.
What rules?
That's my point. That's what I mean. Like, what's going to happen? Like, what punish? I don't, honestly don't know off the top of my head that rule, what it would be for tampering. Kind of, I would assume it'd be sort of serious, but I don't recall what's happened in the past in that arena, but you're right. If you're not squeaky clean, it's hard to come out and say, hey, you're doing this when you are. And people are saying, oh, he brought everybody from Nevada. That's a little different, I think.
He brought 12 people.
Yeah, that's a good amount, though. And others went other places. But I just felt like, coach, like, I don't want to hear any coach say that again unless you're going to name Coach X. It went after my player. And I know it because I see text messages or emails. Like, I'm tired of it. I don't care. I don't want to hear you whine about it. Am I wrong?
No, I think he's trying to keep everything. I think he's trying to keep the program, you know, in everyone's mind. He's trying to, like, it's the same going back to the comments before the CU game. I think he's just trying to, you know, bring the spotlight to the team and keep them relevant for, you know, recruits. Be like, hey, you know, even, all right, let's say that the numbers aren't true for Fowler Nicolosi,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, you see that article and be like, hey, I can go to CU and get or CSU and get a $600,000 NIL deal from someone after balling out. Why wouldn't I at least take a shot?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, like, oh, there's a quarterback turned down $500,000 plus. And we know Alabama last year wanted – he plays for Buffalo Bills, Dalton Kincaid. Nick Saban wanted to pay him seven figures to come from Utah there. And he's like, no, I'm good. And so he's playing with Buffalo Bills right now. Yeah. And so there's reasons to do it and not do it. It's not – like, as my reference here, University of Utah, Cam Rising, there's no way he's going to be NFL quarterback. He's getting seven figures based off what he's done in the past. He's getting about $2.5 million combined for NIL stuff. There's a collective. Everybody has that, basically. Other endorsements and stuff he has. And there's, like, compare that to Torrey Horton. Horton, okay. It's different, but it's not. Because Horton is good enough to be an NFL guy one day. But he may not be high enough at the moment. Maybe he knows he's great already. He's like, oh, I'm going to be fourth round pick. Cam Rising would be lucky to be undrafted guy, so why not take that seven figure deal and stay? And Horton, I guarantee, if Nicolosi can get some, like, I don't think he's getting 600K, but insinuated he's getting something close to that if he's turning down other offers, right?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's getting that because I donate to the NIL program, but it's not a lot. I don't know off the top of my head how much they actually make a year or can give out a year. So it may be six figures, but it'd be like maybe one, maybe two max.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. He's getting good money, but I don't think he's getting that good money because who knows what school it is. Maybe it's not a fit. Maybe he wants to play the NFL receiver. It's like, dude, who would want to play Torrey Horton to pump your stats? Just show you can make that you're a good quarterback and can get in the NFL like what Gary Grayson did. Was he a third round pick for the Saints? Didn't really pan out, but third round pick makes good money. Yeah. But Horton coming back, if he's this good, and we know how good he is, he's a full season being healthy, and he has and they go say eight like this project ahead, like they go to bowl game, go 8-4 somewhere in that range, which I think is a possibility. Depending, there's all the stipulations, but they're going to improve. You have a great receiver on this team. If a good quarterback, it'll help everybody out. Horton could be, like, I'm not looking at 2025 draft boards right now, but if he's a top three receiver, why wouldn't he be like what Michael Gallup was? Wasn't Michael Gallup a first-round pick for the Cowboys?
He was third-round pick.
Third-round pick, apologies. But something a good draft pick, top 100 pick, is probably what he's aiming for.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good move to come back because he's got a good reason because he's getting pretty good money to come back. And so, but there's ways to say it without saying they're coming after your guys. I don't know how to say it, but I'm just tired of them. Like, oh, I know everybody's coming after their guys. And you're right, too. It's like, put my name out there to put attention back here. It's, it's interesting. And then we got other news up the road. Wyoming football. Is this a positive or negative they're losing their offensive coordinator to North Dakota State, Tim Polasek?
Well, I mean, he was originally at Wyoming or at North Dakota State, got mm-hmm. hired by Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and then came to Wyoming with the impression that he would be the head coach once Ball retired. And then when that didn't happen, this is what we got now.
Because their head coach for some reason went to freaking linebackers coach at USC, which is also a weird move.
He must have gotten a lot of money. Like, I mean, because I think someone said his salary is only like $400K as a head coach. So, and I don't see a position, unless the position coach is making that, like, maybe they're paying him five, but still, in LA, $100,000 raise over North Dakota is not that much.
You would think he could get a DC job at even other Power Five schools. Because Chris Kleiman, Craig Bull, all these guys went to FCS to head coach, essentially. And then the guy at Northwestern, he is their DC then head coach now, right?
Yeah.
So it's like he could have taken a better path, unless he's thinking is, okay, I go to USC. They brought in the UCLA D coordinator, which we'll get to in the LA Bowl in a minute because that was kind of interesting. Like he's thinking, okay, we go to the USC. the defense becomes really, really good, then he can get like a high level DC job or a head coaching job. Like, I don't see many position coaches going for, even from USC, being a position coach to be head coach. Like that big jump.
So I think he has to be shooting for, like, maybe someone can look at his head coach resume and be like, hey, you know, maybe you want to take a shot. Maybe he goes up the ranks, becomes, you know, D coordinator, then moves on to head coaching. Who knows?
Yeah, that's I don't know. It's odd. Like, but he's going back there fine. But the offense, like, so what are we going to do for, because Wyoming has a defensive head coach, right? Obviously, we know that. They're promoted from within. What are they going to do? Like, offense, I've always said, find an offensive dude and let him run it and say, you're good. This is kind of what I like to run. But if this is your offense, you take over, and I kind of take care of defense and everything else overall. Like, I don't see why that wouldn't be, like, wouldn't that be the smart play?
I mean, maybe, but it's like you got to do what's best for you. And if he was under the impression that he'd be made head coach, and, you know, they turn around and be like if Bull promised, like, if Bull gave him the impression that he would be the head coach after Bull retired, and then turns around and says, hey, we're going to name the defensive coordinator head coach instead. I don't, as much as the AD may want to keep him and the new coach want to keep him, I don't fault him for leaving. Like, hey, I was promised this, and you guys basically gave me the middle finger.
No, I don't. I don't find that. That's fine. It's a better – get a head coach. Like, that job has proven to lead – how many guys have moved on to head coaches and bigger jobs? But, I mean, like, within Wyoming, like, what are they going to do now? Like, why would it – what
– maybe this gives them a chance to, you know, start fresh because, you know, the offense – the defensive coach can, you know, do what he wants on the defensive side. He can – bring in an offensive coordinator who, you know, can do what he wants and, you know, maybe give them a decent brand of football now. Because, like, Bull was successful. There's no doubt about that. But we always harp on it. It's like, it's not the prettiest brand of football.
Well, and he lies. He lies. Like, I'm going to throw the ball every spring. We're flinging the ball. You never do it, coach. Never. Like, that's the thing. Like, we know what you are. Play to that strength. But don't lie to us, say we're going to open the offense and throw the ball more when you never, ever do it.
Yeah, there's just – I mean, maybe that was – you know, Bull could have been thinking that, and then it just turns out, you know, quarterback isn't that good. So he has to go back to what he wants to do or knows what to do and just consistently run the ball, you know, run, pass, 5-bar runs, pass, everything.
Yeah, I wonder. I just think, like, they can run the offense because look what teams that do run first, and, like, we'll get to the bowl game, but I know Boise State was different with the quarterback they played, but you run the ball a lot, but you've got to have some sort of explosive down the field. You don't need to – I'm not saying go run 4 wide or Mike Leach's offense or run and shoot or mummy, whatever, those type of things, like air raid type stuff. Just allow your quarterback to have some freedom to throw the ball. Like, people, like, I'm telling you, Josh, if you're an Iowa fan, do you care about winning those games 9-3, 12-10? Those are boring games. I don't want to support that. But I also don't care. I don't need my team 40-10.
Well, so I think there is a little bit of a difference in that, yeah, it may not have been the prettiest, but they're also, you know, 10-2. Like, I think there's a difference between boring football and going, you know, 8-4, 7-5. And excited and boring football and going 10-2 and competing for a conference championship.
I've lived that being a University of Utah fan. I've lived that type of stuff. They finally, past 3 years, have gotten an offense. When they beat UCLA 14-7, like, this game is boring and I can't stand it. I hated it. They barely beat Baylor. It was a boring game until the last 2 minutes. It's not exciting. It's like they got to figure something out to score, which they can score some points. I don't know. I just think they should, like, open up a little bit, man. Get in some tight ends. Mix in a little something here or there. They can still be 65% run heavy. Like, we'll get to the bowl game for Boise State. Look how – or I was even watching the Cowboys later today. They got their butt kicked by the Bills. The Bills ran the ball, even with Josh Allen, ran the ball a million times. Big running plays, getting 10 yards a pop, running, doing extremely good things. Ashton Jeanty versus the Bruins had big running plays. Like, there's ways to do that. That's exciting, running the ball. It's just they – I don't know. They just don't have it. It's always just defense, and we'll deal with it. Like, they'll let the offense screw it up.
Yeah, that you're right. That was the thing with Wyoming is they didn't pass enough to make. There are teams that like CSU this past year like didn't. They respected the pass too much when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, like the UNLV game. Yes.
Yeah.
Basically,
you have to force them to beat you through the air.
Yeah, it's like when New Mexico had like Cole Gauchy and stuff when they couldn't throw the ball to save their life. Or even when Boise State took out Green to bring in the Madsen there, and they're like, okay, we know we're throwing the ball. It's 3rd and 12. We know what's going on. Or the old New Mexico game. All right, we're putting this other quarterback where it's 3rd and longer than 6, so you know they're throwing, and you can just rely on – you can pick what you want to do. It's like, okay, we can blitz 8 players or blitz everybody and play single coverage or drop 8 or 9 and try to see what happens.
Yeah.
It's just – they're not a bad team. It sounds like a crap run, but and I don't need it to be exciting. I just want it to be an offense that can not so predictable, first of all. They've had guys in the NFL on offense, like receivers, legit. Tanner Gentry, guys go to the NFL and do things on offense. Multiple players have done stuff like tight ends. They've had wide receivers. So it's not like an impossibility to do that. And so I just think, like, open it up a little bit more. It's just like, just trust your guy to throw it. And so... we'll see how it goes, but you ready for bowl games now? Are we going to go talk about the Mexico Bowl?
Yeah.
How do we get to the Lobo? We'll get to the Lobo controversy afterwards. Fresno State 37. New Mexico State 10. Josh, it was not even that close.
I mean, like, so I was like, I had to work this weekend, and we were redoing the internet in our office. So we got to watch the first couple of minutes, and even then you could see, like, Fresno State was the infinitely better team. You know, they went down the field, got a field goal, immediately picked them off and went down for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that trend just continued throughout the game from what I see on the books.
It did. Like, it was like, where was this? I know New Mexico State, like, it was weird. They played 15 games. It's crazy. Cause they played Hawaii. They played the Conference USA. I know Liberty, like, this kind of gives me an insight to what the Liberty game versus Oregon could be, because Liberty's defense, not very good. Because they went toe-to-toe to Mexico State. That was a shootout, so we figured, like most people, that over-under was kind of high, right?
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Well, it is, but I'm just saying, like, those two type of teams, like, yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, you figured scoring 30, 40 points against a team, like, going back and forth, they could put a bit more. And combo that with what we see with Fresno State. The past month, they lost to San Diego State, man. They've been losing some bad games. They got their butt kicked by a pretty good San Jose State team. Lost to New Mexico for jeez. So they did. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what changed. I know Tedford wasn't head coach. I'm not saying that was any big revelation or big difference in the game for what happened, but that particular game, man, they just showed up like they've been when they were beating up on Kent State, beating up on Arizona State. They took advantage of stuff. And we mentioned before the game, like, oh, the sack yardage against for New Mexico State. Paiva was only sacked a ton, not like, what was it, 20 times heading into this game, which is like one, just over one a game.
Something like that.
He got, there was two turnovers. One was a pick, like you mentioned, right, for the Fresno State. He only got sacked, I think, I'm sorry, my internet's being weird, 3 or 4 times. But he was harassed, like he would, and there's a reason he was Conference USA Player of the Year, co-player of the year. He was getting scrambling in the backfield, going back like Zach Wilson with the Jets trying to make a play, or Josh Allen running backwards, but found guys to make plays or at least threw it away to not get sacked. So he was like the defensive line, the linebackers for Fresno State were all over him the entire game. Like he was not able just to sit there and make plays. He had to do scramble, he had to roll out, he had to duck, he had to take hits. It was not good for him for this game. And so the Fresno defense stepped up, and it could have been worse. At the end of the half, in the red zone, Fresno State goes down, or close to the red zone, there's an interception in the end zone where it could have at least been 20-3, could have been even 24-3 at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Because they just – it was just an all-dominant performance. There were – I found the five – 7 TFLs and 4 sacks, and there probably could have been 2 or 3 more sacks.
Well, what was actually one of the things I'm in, just looking at the stat sheet is like you got basically 5 guys getting 50 yards and only one person had more than 5 catches.
Oh, for, yeah, exactly.
For Fresno State.
Yeah, they put everybody had the ball.
Yeah.
And then New Mexico State, they didn't have their main – the main receiver had 10 touchdowns. He didn't play. Okay. They had zero running game. Paiva was the leading rusher with 72 yards. McElhane Young had 5 carries for 18. The running game was stopped. It was nothing the Aggies could do. They couldn't throw the ball under 50%. Paiva had 58 passing yards, Josh. 58.
I was like, if you see that, you think it's the Cure Bowl weather where it's pouring down rain. No, he just couldn't complete a pass.
He was getting hammered. He was throwing balls away. I do like how they were aggressive. Like, they made the comeback in the fourth quarter to make it close. They scored, 17 points? Or not, excuse me, no. Sorry. My bad. I looked at it wrong. Mine got sidetracked. I was looking at something else here. But this game for Paiva, even against Liberty, he was only 11 of 16. His best game might have been against Jacksonville State, who did win in a very exciting New Orleans Bowl. That was a pretty fun game. They won when Rich Rod got them the game winning field goal. That was a pretty good game when they played one of the Louisiana schools. I forget which one. Lafayette or Monroe, I'm not sure. But that was his best game when he played Jacksonville State. It was a brand new FBS program. Like he's a quarterback. We're out in the hall to get co-offensive player of the year. He a lot of touchdowns, not many picks, ran the ball a little bit here throughout the season. I'm trying to feed rushing yards. Okay, not 900 yards, apologies, more than a little bit. He did pretty good, but his best games were against Sam Houston State, Florida International. Like when he played Hawaii, he had 9 of 15, but he had 100 yards rushing just about. Like when they lost to freaking UMass, so I'm not trying to bash the team. They did beat New Mexico, but this is the Fresno State team we thought we'd see all year long, and they just dominated like we thought they would.
Nothing else to say about it.
Yeah, Malik Sherrod did quite well. Like third down, they crushed. Like first down was almost doubled up. Turnovers plus one. All right, so let's get to the fun stuff here. What do you like about Jerry Kill here? He goes off on the weirdest tangents in the postgame.
That's the fun part. You never know what he's going to say.
Let me ask you this. Would he have said this if they won?
Would I have said it?
No, would Jerry Kill would have said what he said, which we'll get to, had they won, where he goes off on, because we mentioned Paiva peeing on the indoor facility or in the field over the summer. Allegedly not able, Eddie Nunez, AD of Mexico, saying they couldn't use a practice facility.
He probably would have said it differently, but I could see him saying the same thing.
Like we overcame adversity?
Yeah.
I put 0% truth into him saying New Mexico barred them from using the indoor facility. I don't believe that for a second. Do you?
I'll put the pettiness in and make it 20%.
You think Eddie Nunez said, hey guys, sorry, we got the soccer team here. We have the ultimate frisbee team here practicing this afternoon. The golf team, it's cold outside. The golf team wants to work on their chip shot or putting situations.
Hey, you never know.
I don't think he just went through shit. No, he went off saying, because you mentioned this before, Paiva went and peed on, was the facility, correct? Indoor, over the summer. Not even during the game, yeah. Which they won.
Yeah, it was over the summer. Supposedly, according to the ESPN article on the situation. And then Kill said he disciplined him, but we never really know what it was.
And then, yeah. It's like, I found out 2 months later, which, if it's over the summer, I could see him not really knowing what that happened. Like, the situation, like, your player does it. Okay. I saw some people that mentioned to bring up the Baker Mayfield thing. I'm like, and it's a random, I don't know if they have alerts for a Baker Mayfield comes up on Twitter, but like defending, like, oh, you're beating the crap out of Oklahoma and all this stuff or whatever, or Ohio State, whoever they're playing, I forget, but that big, where you put the flag in the middle of the field or whatever. Was it they beat Ohio State? Wasn't that what it was?
I think so.
Okay. It was a while back, but this situation, it's like, Coach, I don't think they stopped you. They say the police were there. You told me the police were there because that was the case for both teams, right? Is that what you said beforehand? For the when New Mexico State was practicing inside? Was it something like that? Police were there for some reason?
Oh, yeah. When they went to practice on Thursday, yeah, the police were there. Like they had like 4 police people there to watch them.
But that was because the Bull wanted that, right?
Supposedly, according to what Eddie Nunez told ESPN.
I just, like, his point's like, I can go to Mexico tomorrow, margarita. It's like, I love his passion. But I'm like, who's believing what you're saying, dude? I don't believe a word of what he's saying.
Well, it could just be Coach Beak, and, you know, he's just trying to get his rants out before the season's officially over.
Before he's irrelevant and they go 4-9 next year? I don't know.
Hey, you never know.
I don't know. I'm just I don't know. It's like, Kill saying, oh, they tried to stop us. The Bulls like, no, you can do whatever Fresno State's doing. It doesn't matter. So, he's upset. But the funny thing at the end is, like, I hope Eddie Nunez gets the same disciplinary action as quarterback got. Like, that's beyond petty, man. What's the point of that? Right? Like,
it could just be, you know, like I said, rivalry pettiness.
That's why I don't believe anything he said about them not being able to practice inside. Go listen to it. If you go find Colin Deaver on Color Deaver TV on Twitter, Colin put out the video about 2 minutes. It's like, it's ridiculous. It's hilarious. It could be rival stuff, because why not poke your rival? It would have been more. See what he did if they won, Josh? He'd be like, we're 2-0 on this field. We beat New Mexico. We won the bowl game. We got more wins on this field than you have all year, which I'll check if that's the case, but I'm just saying. That would have been hilarious, too. It's like, you can't win in your home field. We got 2 victories on here. I don't know. I just think that was weird. All right, ready for the Gronk Bowl?
Hold on, before we start, how was the national anthem?
I didn't see it, man. I apologize. I didn't go back and watch it. I got to the game late, so I fast forward to the beginning part. I did not see it. He said, I did hear him during the game. They talked to him about it. He's like, he was a little bit nervous. He got going. He was on The Masked Singer, but he was also terrible on The Masked Singer a couple years ago. He also said he beat the Boise State dog in a race, the dog that gets the tee, but they didn't show it, so I don't know if that's true either. Do you think he could beat the dog in a foot race? I say no.
Yeah, no.
He said he did. He's like, I'm the second person ever to do that. I'm like, all right, man.
Would they give him a 10-yard head start?
I did not say. Not sure. He's just during one of the sideline things, like during the halftime, or before halftime or something. Oh, wait, hold on. We have it here. Oh, no. Oh, wait, hold on. Congrats to Robin Gronkowski. Heck of a race here. Distraction tactics work. Hold on. I'm watching this now because I did not see it. So what do you give
him? Would he throw a bone?
The tee? I'm watching right now. He left early. A little bit early. Let's see. Hold on. Yes, there was a tee or something. The dog. Yes, because the dog went to get a tee and went to the sideline. And he didn't. I can't tell if he threw it or not. I'm watching this again here because I missed it. But he runs like a second early. Not much of anything. The dog sees a tee and goes straight toward a tee that was placed in where it's supposed to be. So it did its job. He got the tee and ran straight to the sideline. So, yes, technically he won the race, but he was going to lose the race. So that's what that happened. So Boise State took the loss there, and also they took a loss in the game. This matchup, we talked before, nobody thought Gabbers was going to play, right? We thought he was going to play. Then apparently he's kind of apparently hurt, but not hurt enough to be the MVP of the bowl game.
Wait, hold on.
Garbers, he did not start. He got in because there's an injury to the concussion or a head injury to have the starter be removed early in the first half, late in the first half.
Colin Schley.
Yeah, Colin Schley. He went. It was a weird thing too. He took a long run down the sideline. He just kind of slid or went out of bounds. And a Boise State player, like when they rolled over, it looked like it was just an awkward hit. Like his hand, like. He's rolling over the guy, kind of. Hand hit him in the helmet a little bit. Nothing malicious or anything like that. But it could have hit and just bounced at a weird spot. He just took his helmet off and just sat there for a moment. So it could have just been a weird hit, like his head bounced, and then the guy rolled over. His hand kind of popped him in the helmet, sort of, and got him again. It was very. Didn't even look like a hard hit or anything, or a hard knock. So it was odd. But this game. So if Boise State. We joke, Josh, hand off right, hand off left. It worked quite well. You know what the problem is? You can't win kicking field goals, and that's what happened.
How many? I'm at the box score. Give me a second.
3 in the first half. They scored on the first.
Oh, that's three. All they did, too.
Yeah, they scored 3 in the first half. Let me rephrase that. First 3 possessions they scored. They only had 9 points, I believe it was. They had one touchdown, but they were like Genty and Helani. They were just dominating this defense. But when they got in the red zone or got close, they couldn't do it. Like they were up 16-7.5, and then when they made the QB change, it was game over, man. Like Shiel, him being gone, like Garber's not there. Two touchdowns, 9 of 12. Like Shiel was lighting them up on the ground. He had 120 something yards rushing. But it was a game where, and also your stats are all, you get to readjust your stat. Josh, Helani got 100 yards and lost, so we have to adjust that now.
They're just going to add another stat to it. You know, but George Helani has 100 yards.
Regular season.
They have a competent quarterback.
Or regular season games.
Yeah.
But that's what the game came down to. Like they ran and ran and ran and did, and UCLA couldn't stop it. But then when it came to it,
they couldn't do anything else.
Yeah. Like, C.J. Taylor did fine for what he's trying to do, but the Boise defense just, like, got boat raced in the third quarter. What happened to Danis, the defensive coach? They give up 3 touchdowns in the third quarter, and UCLA figured out, like, all right, we're just going to not let you run the ball very well.
I mean, I am a little surprised that they let him throw it. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, comeback attempts, and, you know, they need to get the ball down the field, but I am surprised
really.
They threw as much as they did.
Not really, because when they scored those 3 touchdowns,
Boise.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, so when they scored those 3 touchdowns, 3 straight TDs, which really that's a gut punch. They still went 4 plays in a punt, 6 plays in a pick. He was still like he was throwing a bit more, but he may have had. I'm trying to count here. 1, 2. Like Helani had a 66-yard run late in the game. So that, like, didn't even really matter. So it's kind of like, okay, whatever. But he was kind of throwing a little bit more. He had maybe 10 of those after those plays. So almost half of them to play comeback. But UCLA was just able to stop the running game. That's kind of what happened. And Boise defense just fell apart when they had a... Because Boise could, while they couldn't stop the running attack of Shields, they definitely couldn't stop passing. You know, Garber's in there. Like, there was nothing they, like, and we talked about it. Like, the secondary has been a concern all year for Boise State. And look what happened this game. 3 touchdown passes.
I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe they had some other stuff on their mind, especially with everyone leaving and whatnot, and they just wanted to do something else, just not be there type of thing.
Maybe, but
they got the conference championship, and that's all they wanted.
That, which is great. In the first half, they looked really good. They just couldn't, like, had they scored, I wouldn't be shocked. Had they scored one of those touchdowns, maybe it's a different game. Like, say they have, it's 20-7.5 time. You know what I mean? Had they scored any of those, that was a big concern. Like, when they knew you couldn't run that close or they decided to pass, because we know they have all new coaches. Like, there are guys leaving, guys get promoted. The coaching staff was a bit in flux. They didn't have their starting quarterback, Kalen Green. Like, they were not good on third down, 6-15. They weren't great throwing the ball, obviously. Even running. Like, UCLA had 12 penalties for 89 yards. UCLA was so undisciplined. They had false starts on 4th and 1, which Chip Clay wanted to go for it. They had personal fouls. Like, this is a game where they controlled the time of possession. Like, they were... It was just that third... It's easy to say, oh, just the third quarter, you get shut out. But they were not even really... Like, I think Tiller threw too much. So what did we say before? About 15 passes, what he should have, if they're going to win?
Yeah, I think about 15 to 18 is what I said.
And then being down, you got to recover. But, like, they had no – like, it was not a great game. Like, the receivers aren't very good, obviously. Billy Bones did all right, like, a couple catches. But, like, they couldn't stop Sturdivant, 142 yards, man. Like, they couldn't stop these guys in those deep plays and the couple they had. But, I don't know. It was a tough watch because in the first half, I'm like, all right, interesting. Score a touchdown. They probably can win. But – I don't – like, what do you take too much for these bowl losses? Like, I take that Ashton Genty is still a really, really good running back, which is the case. He just kind of got stifled in the second half because UCLA kind of figured it out. Without their defensive coordinator also, who was not playing, or their best defender is going to be a first-round draft pick. So,
yeah.
There's that. It was fine. It was interesting, so – anything else to add about this particular matchup we had last evening, I guess?
No, I think Boise just, you know, this guy has to just pick up and move on. You know, they'll bring back Mason or Mattson, excuse me.
You see, you fall, hey, you fall into my trap. Mattson, Mason, which is it?
I know.
So we're all went to, we're 1-1 in bowl situation so far. So this next week, here's what we got going on here. We have, I'm trying to pull up the bowl. We talked about it. We have next Saturday, so the 23rd. So next week, we have James Madison versus Air Force, which there is rumors, Josh, Zach Lear is going to be back in quarterback. He's bolded on the depth chart, whatever that means. We got Georgia State, Utah State, Coastal versus San Jose. And then Tuesday, the 26th, day after Christmas, man, UNLV is a 12.5-point underdog versus Kansas. We'll see how that goes. But we'll be back in a couple days. We will preview all four of those games. That's what we're going to do probably Tuesday, getting ready for Christmas. And then we'll figure out our schedule afterwards to recap the rest of these two, because it'll be a little weird with the holiday and Christmas, making sure we can all get together and get stuff done. But are we going to expect when does the portal window end, Josh? Is it like January 4th or something? Do you know?
I thought it was only for like 2 weeks.
I thought this was a month portal. They changed it recently. As we say this, this is a good time to check everything as we're wrapping the show, just in case.
Transfer portal window December 4th, 2023 to January 3rd, 2024.
Okay, there it is right there. I think the players in the title game get a week. So that could be something, too. We may get into some more portal stuff, especially after bowl games happen. So we'll keep an eye on that. So you got the portal and things like that going on. There'll be more, but it's kind of slowed down a little bit. And we got early signing day, which is weird because that might provoke more portal moves, right? Because early signing day is like this week. And so it depends who you bring in and whatnot. Officially signed, that could change as well. So we'll get into some of that stuff down the road as well. Next show we do so. But again, MWR.com, Twitter, MWC Wire. That's where we put a lot of our stuff lately. A ton of stuff out there. So check that out. And yeah, man, everybody have a good week, and we'll be back next time.